Don't worry, make money.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It appears Wall Street investors have taken a chill pill. They seem less worried that rising interest rates will bite into corporate profits. Wednesday, the Dow closed above 11,300 for the first time since May 2001. The new Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke settled some nerves during a speech this week, but the Fed is expected to raise short-term interest rates on Tuesday and probably one more time this spring. India's stock market hit a new high this week, and that points to a major difference between India's economic growth versus China's. Foreign investors are giving much more love to China's, or India's version, rather, of Wall Street. Miranda Kennedy reports.
Overseas funds invested almost $11 billion in the Bombay Stock Exchange last year. They invested less into faster-growing China. Why the discrepancy? Well, economist Subir Gokarn says investors in China aren't guaranteed returns like they are in India. Bombay's stock market is more stable and transparent than China's because, for one, it's not state-controlled.
We have a longer history of market activity and also a very, very advanced state-of-the-art market structure. So for an investor, he has pretty much the same set of conditions in India that he would have in the U.S. or in the U.K.
Except that the stock markets in the U.S. or U.K. aren't up 200% in the last 5 years. China's return is at 65%. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Still, China is making boatloads of money shipping products into the United States. A lot of furniture, for example. But a report out today warns there is a price for those bargain imports, and rainforests may be paying for it. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon.
The report says much of the Chinese-made furniture that's increasingly finding its way into American living rooms and onto backyard patios comes from lumber illegally cut from the tropical rainforests of Indonesia and elsewhere. Michael Jenkins of the group Forest Trends says China has captured a third of the global furniture trade, but it can't support that output with its own resources.
China's becoming, in a sense, the wood workshop. In the last 10 years, it's moved from being the number 7 importer of wood to the number 2 importer of wood and the leading importer of wood from tropical countries.
Jenkins says consumers need to demand tighter controls from the companies they buy from. He doesn't think avoiding Chinese products is the answer.
We should use the political and the market leverage that we have to work with the Chinese government to make this trade a sustainable trade so that you'll have forests in all these places for the next generation.
Jenkins sees greater consumer awareness as the key. In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The Enron trial is getting all the attention in the world of corporate fraud, but we thought this deserved a brief mention. Underwear maker Fruit of the Loom has agreed to pay $42 million to settle two shareholder lawsuits. They accused the company's CEO and CFO of lying to analysts to boost stock prices. Fruit of the Loom filed for bankruptcy in 1999, but billionaire Warren Buffett swooped in and got the company out 3 years later. So the Dow climbed 82 points to 11,317. The Nasdaq gained 9 to 2303. The S&P 500 added 7 points. And in Japan, land prices increased for the first time in 15 years, a good sign for that country's recovering economy. This is Marketplace. I doubt a lot of people are going to Walmart for Cabernet or yoga mats, but folks in Texas will be able to now. Here's Andrea Gardner.
If only there was a French way to say Walmart. This week, the company opened a test store in Plano, Texas that sells all the basics, along with a slew of pricier items like wine, plasma TVs, and yoga gear. There's even a sushi bar. The world's largest retailer looks to be luring customers away from the more upscale Target. Retail strategist Wendy Liebman says rising gas and healthcare costs have put a strain on low-income shoppers, so many companies are going after wealthier customers.
These are the customers who are less affected by economic downturn. They're able to spend regularly.
Walmart says it doesn't plan to open other upscale stores, but it might consider adding pricier items to its current outlets. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic. Alleviating pain. Restoring health. Extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by The Economist. The weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The clocks on Wall Street pretty much stop when the leader of the Federal Reserve speaks. This week, the new Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, gave his first major speech, and investors were anxious to hear a very clear message, the exact opposite of Alan Greenspan's famous ambiguous oratories. Personal finance expert Chris Farrell joins us now. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, did he live up to his billing?
He lived up to the reputation of central bankers. He was confusing. He was not clear. So he fulfilled the mandate of every central banker, which is, on the one hand, on the other hand.
But why do they do that?
The reason why they do that is they are so afraid of making a statement. We're going to hike our benchmark interest rate when we meet next week. And then everyone goes out and the market just responds to that. But they want that wiggle room. And the speech that Bernanke gave was about the great conundrum, the great mystery, the great puzzle that's going on in the financial markets today. Why is it that when the Fed has hiked its benchmark interest rate as much as it has, long-term interest rates have essentially not budged? Why is that? The speech that he gave said, well, you know, it could be this, it could be that.
Okay, that doesn't help a whole lot.
No, it doesn't. But I do think that he gave credence to one reason in particular, and that is that there is a glut of world savings. Now, this is a theme that Bernanke has been talking about over the past several years. U.S. corporations, massive savings on the balance sheet. Japanese corporations, same thing. Look at what's happening with China and India and all their savings. So there's a glut of global savings, and that's having an impact on long-term interest rates because some of this money wants safety, and the safest security in the world economy, U.S. Treasury bonds.
So what kind of hints did Bernanke give us about inflation and economic growth?
Well, much of that came in the Q&A afterwards, and he was quite confident about the economy. He said that the economy is strong, that the housing market is slowing down, but the slowdown in the housing market is not going to crater the economy, take the economy down with it. I think the fundamental message that he was delivering is that in the global economy, there has been a genuine step down in interest rates. And the Fed isn't quite sure what that means for where is the right level for short-term interest rates.
Despite giving himself some wiggle room, the entire rest of the world seems to know that next Tuesday, the Fed will raise interest rates by a quarter point, right?
That's right. We all believe that.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Good as always to talk to you.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Tens of thousands of immigrants.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.